Chapter 2 New Developments.
"I have come to you for a minute, dear boy," he began. "I was in haste to tell you. I have heard all about everything. None of them have even been to Mass today, except Ilyusha, Sasha, and Nastenka. They tell me Mama has been in convulsions. They have been rubbing her. It was all they could do to bring her to by rubbing. Now it has been settled for us all to go together to Foma, and I have been summoned. Only I don't know whether to congratulate Foma on the name day or not. It's an important point. And in fact, how are they going to take this whole episode? Oh, it's awful, Seryozha. I foresee it."
"On the contrary, Uncle," I hastened in my turn to reply, "everything is settling itself splendidly. You see, you can't marry Tatiana Ivanovna now. That's a great deal in itself. I wanted to make that clear to you on our way."
"Oh, yes, my dear boy, but that's not the point. There is the hand of Providence in it, no doubt, as you say, but I wasn't thinking of that. Oh, poor Tatiana Ivanovna! What adventures happened to her, though! Obnoskin's a scoundrel, a scoundrel! Though why do I call him a scoundrel? Shouldn't I have been doing the same if I married her? But that, again, is not what I have come about. Did you hear what that wretch Anfisa Petrovna shouted about Nastenka this morning?"
"Yes, Uncle. Haven't you realized now that you must make haste?"
"Certainly, at all costs," answered my uncle. "It is a solemn moment. Only there is one thing, dear boy, which we did not think of, but I was thinking of it afterwards all night. Will she marry me? That's the point."
"Oh, mercy on us, Uncle, after she told you herself that she loves you."
"But, my dear boy, you know she also said at once that nothing would induce her to marry me."
"Oh, Uncle, that's only words. Besides, circumstances are different today."
"Do you think so? No, Sergei, my boy, it's a delicate business, dreadfully delicate. But do you know, though I was worrying, yet my heart was somehow aching with happiness all night. Well, goodbye, I must fly. They are waiting for me. I am late as it is. I only ran in to have a word with you. Oh, my God!" he cried, coming back. "I have forgotten what is most important. Do you know what? I have written to him, to Foma."
"When?"
"In the night, and in the morning at daybreak, I sent the letter by Vido Pliusov. I put it all before him on two sheets of paper. I told him everything truthfully and frankly. In short, that I ought, that is, absolutely must, do you understand, make Nastenka an offer. I besought him not to say a word about our meeting in the garden, and I have appealed to all the generosity of his heart to help me with Mama. I wrote a poor letter, of course, my boy, but I wrote it from my heart, and, so to say, watered it with my tears."
"Well, no answer?"
"So far, no. Only this morning, when we were getting ready to set off, I met him in the hall in night attire, in slippers and nightcap. He sleeps in a nightcap. He had come out of his room. He didn't say a word. He didn't even glance at me. I peeped up into his face. Not a sign."
"Uncle, don't rely on him. He'll play you some dirty trick."
"No, no, my boy, don't say so," cried my uncle, gesticulating. "I am sure of him. Besides, you know, it's my last hope. He will understand. He'll appreciate it. He's peevish. He's capricious. I don't deny it. But when it comes to a question of nobility, then he shines out like a pearl. Yes, like a pearl. You think all that, Sergei, because you have never seen him yet when he is most noble. But, oh, my God! If he really does spread abroad my secret of yesterday, then, oh, I don't know what will happen then, Sergei. What will be left of me in the world that I can believe in? Oh, but no, he cannot be such a scoundrel. I am not worth the sole of his shoe. Oh, don't shake your head, my boy. It's true, I am not."
"Yegor Ilyich, your mamma is anxious about you."
We hear from below the unpleasant voice of Miss Perepalitzin, who had probably succeeded in hearing the whole of our conversation from the open window.
"They are looking for you all over the house and cannot find you."
"Oh, dear, I am late. How dreadful!" cried my uncle in a fluster. "My dear boy, for goodness sake, dress and come too. Why, it was just for that I ran in, so that we might go together. Oh, I fly, I fly! Anna Nilovna, I fly!"
When I was left alone, I recalled my meeting with Nastenka that morning, and was very glad I had not told my uncle of it. I should have upset him even more. I foresaw a great storm, and could not imagine how my uncle would arrange his plans and make an offer to Nastenka. I repeat, in spite of my faith in his honour, I could not help feeling doubtful of his success. However, I had to make haste. I considered myself bound to assist him, and at once began dressing. But, as I wanted to be as well dressed as possible, I was not very quick, in spite of my haste. Mizinchikov walked in.
"I have come for you," he said. "Yegor Ilyich begs you to come at once. Let us go."
I was quite ready. We set off.
"What news there?"
I asked on the way.
"They're all in Foma's room, the whole party," answered Mizinchikov. "Foma is not in bad humour, but he is somewhat pensive and doesn't say much, just mutters through his teeth. They even kissed Ilyusha, which of course delighted Yegor Ilyich. He announced beforehand, through Miss Perepalitzin, that they were not to congratulate him on the name-day, and that he had only wanted to test them. Though the old lady keeps sniffing her smelling salts, she is calm, because Foma is calm. Of our adventure, no one drops a hint. It is as though it had never happened. They hold their tongues because Foma holds his. He hasn't let anyone in all the morning, though. While we were away, the old lady implored him by all the saints to come that she might consult him, and indeed she hobbled down to the door herself. But he locked himself in, and answered that he was praying for the human race, or something of the sort. He has got something up his sleeve. One can see that from his face. But as Yegor Ilyich is incapable of seeing anything from anyone's face, he is highly delighted now with Foma's mildness. He's a regular baby. Ilyusha has prepared some verses, and they have sent me to fetch you."
"And Tatiana Ivanovna?"
"What about Tatiana Ivanovna?"
"Is she there, with them?"
"No, she is in her own room," Mizinchikov answered dryly. "She is resting and crying. Perhaps she is ashamed, too. I believe that governess is with her now. Oh, I say, surely it is not a storm coming on. Look at the sky."
"I believe it is a storm," I answered, glancing at a storm cloud that looked black on the horizon. At that moment, we went up onto the terrace.
"Tell me, what do you think of Obnoskin, eh?" I went on, not being able to refrain from probing Mizinchikov on that point.
"Ah, don't speak to me of him. Don't remind me of that blackguard," he cried, suddenly stopping, flushing red and stamping. "The fool, the fool, to ruin such a splendid plan, such a brilliant idea. Listen, I am an ass, of course, for not having detected what a rogue he is. I admit that solemnly, and perhaps that admission is just what you want. But I swear, if he had known how to carry it through properly, I should perhaps have forgiven him. The fool! Oh, the fool! And how can such people be allowed in society? How can they be endured? How is it they are not sent to Siberia, into exile, into prison? Yeah, but that's all nonsense. They won't get over me. Now I have experience, anyway, and we shall see who gets the best of it. I'm thinking over a new idea now. You must admit one can't lose one's object simply because some outside fool has stolen one's idea and not known how to set about it. Why, it's unjust. And in fact, this Tatiana will inevitably be married. That's her predestined fate.
And if no one has put her into a madhouse up to now, it was just because it is still possible to marry her. I will tell you my new idea. But afterwards, I suppose, I interrupted him, for here we are.
Very well, very well. Afterwards, Mizinchikov answered, twisting his lips into a spasmodic smile.
And now, but where are you going?
I tell you, straight to Foma Fomich's room. Follow me, you've not been there yet. You'll see another farce, for it has really come to a farce.